Former President Donald Trump was indicted today for trying to overturn his loss to Joe Biden.
We have to win in November, or we're not going to have Pennsylvania. They'll change the name. They're going to change the name of Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvanians have a unique role with democracy and freedom. We have seen Pennsylvanians rise up at the ballot box.
The work of making this world resemble one that you would prefer to live in is a lunch pail job.
Hi, and welcome to this Keystone Reckoning podcast. This is your host, Jesse White. You'll forgive me if I'm kind of looking off into the distance a little bit as I'm recording here. I'm trying something a little different. We're going to be broadcasting live. And had to just prove that we're alive, Gus just stuck his head in the door and had something to say to me. So we're broadcasting live and on both our Facebook and YouTube channels to try to get a little interaction going that way. So the reason that I wanted to hop on today and the topic for this podcast is in light of the situation in East Palestine, Ohio, which obviously is very serious, and I'm in no way trying to make light of that. But I thought it might be useful for us to use that as a lens by which we could look across the border here into Pennsylvania and talk about how Pennsylvania handles environmental policy. And spoiler alert, it's not that great. And for any of you that know me, you know this is an issue that's kind of near and dear to my heart. So I'm going to be probably a little more blunt than I usually am. If you're watching online, please feel free to jump in on the comments. I'd love to hear from you. So here's the deal. In a nutshell, Pennsylvania's environmental policy in terms of, and by policy, I mean both policy as written and policy as enacted, are not great. Policy as written isn't too bad, depending on what you're looking at. Policy as enacted is really, really terrible. And it goes back as far as you want to go back in recent history, you could find examples. I'm going to keep my frame of reference to kind of modern history, which is, you know, the last 20 years or so. So on the governor's side, you know, you had Ed Rydell, you had Tom Corbett, who obviously was, you know, didn't even hide the fact that he was, you know, catering to the fossil fuel industry. Then you had Tom Wolf. And now, obviously, we have Josh Shapiro. I don't think it's really fair to lump Josh into all of this because he's been in office for a grand total of about, you know, in the grand scheme of things, 5 minutes. So that's not really enough time to really lump him in with all that. But here's the bottom line. Pennsylvania, despite what you may want to think, is very much politically tailored to the fossil fuel industry and to industry in general. The railroads, the infrastructure, the actual producers, that's who they cater to. That's who they're here for. And if you know anything about this, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, right? I mean, the reality bears it out, but let's do a little bit of a deeper drill into what exactly I'm talking about. So I want to also preface this by saying, you know, usually on this podcast, it's, you know, standard procedure just to demonize Republicans. I am not letting the Democrats off the hook here. And in some ways, it's even more infuriating because the Republicans don't really hide who they are, right? They're like, yeah, we're big business, we're big industry, and that's all there is to it. Democrats are different. They do a lot of signaling that they're for environmental causes and environmental protections. But the actions and the words do not match up all that often, not nearly as often as they should. So here's what we're talking about, is that what you've seen in recent history is just straight up catering to the energy industry because jobs, right? That's the currency that they use. Jobs, jobs, jobs. You have to let us do whatever the hell we want because jobs. Jobby, job, job, jobs. Now, let's ignore for a minute the fact that the job numbers almost never line up with the promise. Okay, let's just throw that right out the window. Even if it was accurate, the willingness to just ignore basic environmental protections because of the political benefit, you know, everybody wants to be a job creator, is ridiculous. And on top of that, let's not pretend that one of the jobs that a lot of these folks are trying to protect are their own, right? You know, the energy industry in Pennsylvania is incredibly powerful politically. Lots and lots of money, lobbyists, PACs, and they are really, really good at making sure everybody knows that. They're like the one group you don't want to cross. You know, for the longest time, I would say the most influential lobby in Harrisburg in terms of big money, right? Like, you didn't hear a lot about it, but the big, big money was the cyber schools, different privatization, cyber. I won't go into too many details, but that was like the segment of the industry where they had the most sway. But the energy industry has very much overtaken that. And they, you know, and again, if you know anything about me, you know, I'm talking from personal experience here. You know, their thing was, don't even ask any questions. We are going to do what we want to do, how we want to do it. And if you don't like it, you are an enemy of the state. You know, that may sound extreme, right? You're like, wow, that's some pretty brash terminology, but it's just reality. I mean, that's how they looked at it. I mean, you got to remember, this is the industry that brought in like the former military guys that were doing the psyops tactics on local governments. Like, you were the enemy. You weren't an opponent. You were the enemy. Now, that nowadays is kind of like the default that we see in a lot of our politics. But when this all started 15 years or so ago, you know, and I'm talking about with the natural gas, the oil and gas industry, you know, really coming into its own in Pennsylvania. But when that, you know, when that started, that was not the attitude that you generally saw. These guys came in and they were literally militant. Rolled up from Texas, planted a flag, and, you know, that was it. It was going to be their way or the highway. And it was so short-sighted, because all they did was, you know, they would rather spend $1 million trying to convince you that they were doing the right thing than spend $500,000 and actually do the right thing. I never did understand that. I still don't. I don't know if it was just some bravado. I don't know what it was. But the problem was, you have seen the political machine, by which I mean like the official machine, House, Senate, governors, just fold to these guys every single time. Every single time. You know, Rendell, that was kind of, you know, it was the beginning of all of it. He was kind of on the way out, but they definitely let them kind of, they didn't ask enough questions at the beginning. Corbett, obviously, you know, I mean, the level of collusion and corruption in the Corbett administration and the energy industry was just, it made you want to throw up. The more you knew about it, the more it just sickened you, because it was every bad thing you could imagine all rolled into one. You know, it got to the point where when we were down in southwestern Pennsylvania, you know, when things would happen and they would get exposed, it was coordinated. You know, the energy industry would come out and defend the Department of Environmental Protection. The Department of Environmental Protection would come out and defend the industry, like publicly. They would cover each other's asses as a way to, you know, basically attack the messenger at that point. And it certainly wasn't helped by the fact that you had you know, the overwhelming majority of the media on the payroll, and by which I mean advertisers. I'm not talking about bags of money. I'm talking about, hey, we're putting big advertising money into your newspaper, into your station. And that definitely came with a price. It wasn't even like implied, like you're not going to do us dirty, right? Oh, no. It was more like you will not run any story that is going to make us look bad. KDK. And I mean, I had reporter friends, people that worked in the newsrooms. They were like, we are not allowed to write about this. We have been told explicitly not to write about it. And instead, we have to do puff pieces. You know, I think that the name Range Resources obviously comes to mind. Again, if you know anything about me, you know that, you know, that's a name that'll be forever linked with my political story. And they owned the whole operation. And if they didn't have you on the payroll, so to speak, they had you so damn afraid that you may as well have been, right? That was actually the brilliance of what they did. You know, a lot of it wasn't, you know, we're going to give you something, because that would have cost them something, right? It was more about being afraid of what happened if you didn't play ball. It was extortion almost. And, you know, no one wanted to be on the wrong side of these guys. And even, you know, to give you an idea of just how bad it was, let's look at the Wolf administration. So when Tom Wolf was running for office, I was speaking with him. I was still in the state house then. And we were talking, he said, well, what are the issues in your district? What's going on? This was 2014. I said, well, we've got a lot of environmental issues down here. A lot has been going on, with the drilling companies and the infrastructure around them. And there have been a lot of public health concerns, serious things that have been in the national press. And he said, well, don't worry, we're going to tax those guys. And I was like, well, okay, but that's not what we're talking about here. You know, and if you know anybody that really cares about these issues in Pennsylvania, you know that taxing them was never popular, because the second you tax them and you start to rely on that revenue stream, you've institutionalized the process. You've basically guaranteed, well, now we have to frack and we have to be this energy producing hub, because otherwise we are missing that money. So they are not related. They were never related. They were never, you know, they were never supposed to be related. So Wolf runs, beats Corbett. One of the very few like actual promises that Tom Wolf made when he ran was that he was going to take on the oil and gas industry, and he would tax them, which, you know, in a lot of places, you know, that weren't dealing with the environmental impacts, that was the way to go, right? We did, especially back then, we needed revenue. We were the biggest state in terms of most activity without a severance tax. You know, it just seemed like it made sense. So what happened in that very first budget in 2015? Tom Wolf dropped the severance tax after the very first round of negotiations. Like, not maybe, not sort of, didn't even get anything for it. He just gave up on it. And I know what happened. The Republicans in the House and Senate that he had to negotiate with were like, dude, don't even, it's a non-starter. Don't even bother. At the same time, if you remember correctly, the initial Secretary of Environmental Protection at the state level, John Hanger was one. The other one eludes me. But they were environmentalists. Yeah, they had been aggressive in a good way on the oil and gas industry. They got the boot pretty fast, because, you know, clearly there was someone sat Governor Wolf down and said, no, these are the rules. This is how it's going to be. And unfortunately, he didn't really fight back. Later in his term, there were actually some other things that came out in terms of permitting for pipelines. And because you have to understand, people think drilling, right, is just drilling the well. You know, there are issues there, but the real problem had to do with the infrastructure, right? It was the pipelines. It was the impoundments. It was the processing plants. It's, you know, if you know what a pig launcher is, right? It doesn't even sound good, right? Is there anything like, is there such a thing as a good pig launcher? Well, their pig launchers were a thing. So you had all of these, all this infrastructure going in, and there was a lot that came out where, you know, the Wolf administration, there were some emails where they were, you know, kind of playing ball in a not so great way with some of these companies. So the history for Democrats has not been great. Now, I will say this about Governor Shapiro. While he was attorney general, he did go after some of these companies in a way that nobody else had before. Range Resources in particular, you know, filed criminal charges. You know, there were grand juries. For my money, not nearly enough came from it, but at least it got out there. Another exception, to be fair, is former Auditor General Eugene DePasquale, who, before he got to the State House, which is what he did before he became Auditor General, he was actually a Deputy Secretary at the DEP. And I could tell you when he was the Auditor General, he did an audit of some of the water quality reporting and things like that that I work with him on personally, and they're really good reports, and they did their due diligence. Unfortunately, he's not a prosecutor, right? He didn't have the ability to actually go out and prosecute anybody and make anybody accountable. But in terms of getting information out there, it was great. And in some ways, you know, that was the kind of thing that would piss me off more than anything, because once we got like out of the Rendell administration and we're into the Corbett administration and the Wolf administration, there was no lack of information. It wasn't that we didn't know what was going on. It was that people were just too willing to look the other way. And again, Democrats and Republicans, you know, a lot of people don't remember. And it's funny, it popped up on my Facebook memories today, that today, I think it was like the 9th anniversary of one of the court decisions overruling Act 13. Act 13, for those of you that don't remember, was passed in 2012, and it was unbelievable. It was billed as like an update to Pennsylvania's oil and gas law to deal with the issues that came with fracking, because they had never really been contemplated when the original laws were written. But they let the oil and gas industry write the entire thing. I mean, I remember seeing lobbyists from the oil and gas industry in the lieutenant governor's office under the Corbett administration, while this was happening, like writing this thing in real time. I watched them, going to my Democratic colleagues and you know, buying them off isn't the right word. I don't like that implication, but lobbying them very hard. And, you know, the bill passed the House by one vote, and there was a lot of chicanery there. I'm not going to name any names, but it was bad. And because what this bill did, it was amazing in retrospect. It took the ability of municipalities, it took away their ability to do any sort of zoning for any reason related to oil and gas. So the state law basically preempted all state zoning. So there are all local zoning laws, which is unheard of. There's no industry anywhere that has ever had that kind of exemption and that kind of free ride. Because what happened was, the oil and gas companies were trying to, they thought they could kind of like come in on the local level and just kind of like sucker all these local governments into giving them what they wanted. And then it didn't take long before some of them, because most of them were ones I represented, they were in my area in Washington County and in Allegheny County. And they were like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. So they got smart and we organized. You know, we formed a Marcellus Municipal Co-op where we had these folks working together. So the divide and conquer tactics couldn't happen anymore. So when that happened, they were like, uh-oh, now we're just going to go to the state, get them to do a top-down law, and then there's nothing you can do. And the thing passed. And it was unbelievable what this law did. I mean, it was just, if it had not been overturned by the courts, you would not recognize massive parts of this state. It would have been more of an industrial wasteland than some parts even are right now. Unbelievable. And it was, you know, at the time the perception was, oh, these guys are, these companies have so much money and so much influence, you'll never get it overturned. But it was such a bad law that it got overturned. I actually wrote an amicus brief and was part of that process along with my municipalities. We got the Commonwealth Court to stay it and overrule it because it was that ridiculous. And the Commonwealth Court was a very conservative court at the time, very Republican court. And then the state Supreme Court affirmed that, and the law was overruled. And I look back on that as, you know, that whole process is probably the greatest victory I ever had. And, you know, a lot of times I'll tell people, you know, they say, well, what have you accomplished anywhere? Yeah. In any sort of political context. And I always say sometimes the biggest accomplishments aren't your wins are defined by what you stopped. And by stopping that, we were able to save this state from a lot of problems that they'll luckily never even know about. You know, and did it come at a political cost? Absolutely. As a, you know, again, if you know me, you know how that went. But when that all happened, and when the oil and gas industry got really aggressive politically and started going after not just me, but anybody that questioned them, right? I can tell you the Democrats turned their backs. You know, my own state senator, Tim Salabi, you know, worked directly with them, like in late night meetings, to undermine what we were trying to do. The Democratic caucus. Now, in fairness, it's a different leadership team, but they found a primary challenger and funded them, which is like a massive no-no. If you know how any of these organizations work, because that's what the oil and gas industry want them to do. Even today, look at, I and this is a topic for a broader discussion, but I would argue that the oil and gas industry has really co-opted organized labor in a lot of ways, to where you can't get Democrats into competitive races in southwestern Pennsylvania. They've walked away from it because organized labor is backing the Republicans. And the Republicans are, as always, singing the praises of the oil and gas industry. So you see what's happening in East Palestine, Ohio. And you think, oh God, I hope that never happens here. Well, guess what? It has. It has absolutely happened here. You may not know about it, but it happened. I remember a situation where on Christmas Eve, we had to evacuate an entire town in Washington County because the Mark West processing facility, which is like something out of some sort of dystopian nightmare movie. It's this massive sprawling like industrial complex, which is like right next to a daycare center and a VOTEC. And if you look at it through like a flare camera, you could just see it spewing every horrible, like, it, you know, the everything you can't see with your naked eye is coming off of this thing. And there were numerous instances where there were explosions, there were fireballs, there was smoke pouring into the sky. And, you know, they have these things locked up like Fort Knox. You can't even get to them. They evacuated a town on Christmas Eve. And when you asked them what went wrong, they were like, oh, it was just the safety system doing what it was supposed to do. How the hell does that make you feel any better? That's like saying, okay, my house burned down. The smoke alarm went off because that's what it's supposed to do. Yeah, but that's not why the house caught on fire. I had people coming to me that were working in there telling me that there were trucks inside that melted. Like, not burned, not got messed up a little bit. Melted. Think that's something that may be a bit of a health hazard? I mean, I don't have time to go into all the details. Again, that's a discussion for another day. But the point is, this stuff happened. Google Cornerstone Care, just outside of Burgerstown in Washington County. Public health clinic in 2012 closed down for months because there were fumes coming in and causing everybody to be sick. There were people throwing up over the railings. We were able to figure out it was because of these open air impoundments where they were dumping all of this toxic water. They were up high. The clinic was in a valley. When the wind, there would be an accumulation on these impoundment ponds of heavier than air chemicals, VOCs, they would sit in this big toxic cloud. And when the wind would blow, which, by the way, just happened to be when everybody would be getting sick. That's how we were able to piece it together. When the wind would blow, because they were heavier than air, they would settle into the valley. And that's when people got sick. And when we went and looked at it, the DEP did bullshit testing. Found exactly what they wanted, what everybody wanted them to find. Instead of doing a long-term, a longer-term test to see like what was really going on, they did this like super short window. And they tried to say that it came, the fumes that were there came from somebody mowing the grass on a riding mower like half a mile away. Tim Saliba, I remember in a meeting with the DEP, tried to say that it came from an old industrial facility that had been like 3 miles down the road that had been closed for like 20 years. I mean, they were doing somersaults. And if you know Tim Saliba, picture him trying to do a somersault. That's not a pretty picture. They were doing somersaults trying to come up with reasons why it couldn't be the drilling facility, the oil and gas infrastructure. Couldn't even ask. You ask the DEP and they're like, no. They faked reports. They went around everybody to the press. It was so corrupt. It was unbelievably corrupt. People lost their jobs. People lost their livelihoods. People lost access to their, like, the town health clinic. The guy, Matt Pizzarella from Range Resources, went on KDKA with our friend Andy Sheehan and tried to convince them everything was coming from some paint cans around back. I was there. I couldn't believe it. That's the kind of crap that went down. And when that MarkWest plant it's in Houston, but it's really Chartiers Township, Washington County. Look it up. Google it. When that thing goes up, and trust me, it will explode one day. When that happens, it will make East Palestine look like a trip to Disney World. And again, I'm in no way downplaying the significance of what happened there. But I know people that worked in fields in Washington County where they had to replace toxic soil 6 feet deep, and they still weren't getting it. They still weren't. It was still pinging off the charts. These guys were there. They were in it. Telling me about it. It happened. Water pollution, dead livestock. I mean, even afterwards, after I left office, the child cancer cluster that was, and this was the Wolf administration, their Department of Health was very complicit in covering that up. Absolutely. Again, all the details are there. I don't have time to go into all of it, but it happened. So these are real things. Now, are there lawmakers that are genuinely concerned about environmental issues? Yeah. I actually made it a point to go through and look at some co-sponsorship memos and things like that. There's some good stuff there. Malcolm Kenyatta, good stuff. Chris Robb in the House, excellent stuff. But there's no political will to get it done. There just isn't. Because at the end of the day, it's easier to just play along, right? That's what happens. Like, there's the pressure from an environmentalist is nothing compared to the pressure from industry. Nothing. It's laughed at in the halls of the Capitol. It's laughed at. There's virtue signaling. Some people say all the right things, you know. And here's the other thing. You know, a lot of the people that will talk about this are from parts of the state where it's not real, right? Where it's not happening. It's easy to do that from there because it's, you know, that's just good politics, right? But like, there's a reason Democrats don't even run candidates in those areas anymore, because they'd have to confront the reality of what's going on. There are districts in this state where an environmental candidate could run and talk about those issues and at least force the incumbents there the Republican incumbents to talk about some of it, to acknowledge it. But we don't do that. We pass. We punt every time because it's easier. We'll just go spend another $2 million on a district in the southeastern part of the state. And let's just pretend that anything west of Harrisburg that isn't Pittsburgh or Erie doesn't exist. Look at the map. You can blame Trump. You can blame whatever you want. Sometimes there are things happen for multiple reasons. There is a child cancer cluster in Pennsylvania. There's one of the, that's one of the reasons I'm recording this from Cumberland County in central Pennsylvania and not Washington County where I lived for my entire life. Because I have two kids and they need to get the hell out of there for their own safety. Because I knew, not only did I know what was going on, but I knew that nobody was going to give a damn about it. Nobody. And nobody has. I've got receipts. Not that anybody cares. But it's real. It's out there. And there are people that know it. But the system is so rigged. And the people that are advocating and living it are so tired that there's just a thought of what's the damn point? I mean, that's a horrible place to be, but that's where we're at. That's where we're at. But I know I've been hard on Democrats here, but let's not forget that Republicans are even worse, right? And the one of the things I saw a tweet that just absolutely sent me into orbit from Congressman Scott Perry, former state house member, former chairman of the Environmental Resources Committee. All right. So just in light of everything I just said, keep that in mind as I read this tweet. He's responding to Scott Perry's responding to a tweet from President Biden about his trip to Kiev. And he said, wouldn't it be great if our southern border would capture a part of his heart too? Maybe the people of East Palestine would be nice if he'd be back to those too. Oh, that's right. He's never been. Like what? Like I'll take a lot of crap from a lot of people, but Scott Perry trying to act like he gives a damn about the people in East Palestine and all of the things that have led up to it and the lack of regulation and the lack of enforcement and the fact that nothing is going to change and there's going to be another one or more than one. Like Scott Perry, you can just fuck right off, all the way off. Like there, that is like, that's not even just bold hypocrisy. That's just being a brazen jag off and hope that no one knows any better. So, you know, all of this virtue signaling, and performance art, it really, that's what it is performance art by Republicans who are all of a sudden, are going to be, pretend to be environmentalists. Like, let's remember who they really are. Let's remember who's writing their quote unquote checks. Let's remember they're never going to speak up to those guys, especially at the state level. They'll never challenge them. And I'm not so sure the Democrats will either. So you worry about what's going to happen. You look at East Palestine, you wonder what's going to happen in Pennsylvania. It's already happened. And it's going to happen again and again. And is anything going to change? I don't see how. We used to say that the only way this would change is if there were kids in coffins. And then we found an actual goddamn child cancer cluster and still nothing changed. So I don't know what's left. I have no idea. So yeah, there's something to feel good about. No matter how bad we think it is, I'm telling you, it's actually kind of worse. And hopefully with this governor and their Department of Environmental Protection, we'll start to see an about face, because I really do have faith in Josh. But it's a big machine and there's a lot of moving parts, and the corruption and the compliance and the complicity runs so deep that I don't know if one person can root it out. It's institutional corruption at this point. It's baked in. So yeah, that's where we're at. And it's not great. It is, as I like to say, suboptimal. And it's getting more suboptimal by the day. And what's going to come out in years to come, our kids are going to look back and look at us and say, how the hell did you not know about this? And why did you not do anything? I know what my answer will be. I did what I could. I don't think a lot of other folks in office can say that. I think that's a good place to end it. Again, this has been the Keystone Reckoning podcast. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We are a political action committee. If you want to help support keeping the infrastructure of the organization going, please go to KeystoneReckoning.com and make a donation. You can find that through any of our social channels as well. Please check us out and subscribe to our social channels. Also check out TrueBlueGear.com. It's a website that offers Democratic and progressive t-shirts, apparel, that kind of thing. They are a partner of ours and we want to support them. And until next time, if you have any ideas for additional episodes or topics, or know someone that would be a good guest, we're always looking for new and interesting people, please shoot me an email to info@keystonereckoning.com, or you can, again, hit us up on any of our socials. Thank you for taking the time to tune in. This is Jesse White. Have a great day.
Well, that's it then. We've saved people the trouble of voting. What's next?
Our point is that it's...
I understood the point. We're going to South Carolina to set up Illinois. When I ask what's next, it means I'm ready to move on to other things. So, what's next?
We're done.
Fantastic.